I'd like to hear from the auditor, Max Sheeran. He signed the accounts saying that we have net assets or net equity of $3 billion. The market cap is currently $600 million. So we're, what, five times over the odds in terms of what we reckon and what the market reckons. Given that we splurged $2.5 billion on six assets at the top of the market, as we mentioned earlier, and given the fact that the markets, the equity markets around the world have fallen about 40% since the peak last November when we were on our binge, can Mr. Sheeran please enlighten us as to how he feels that he can claim that all those assets we bought last year are worth what we paid, plus all the outrageous gouging fees that Babcock extracted and loaded into the acquisition price, which is now sitting on our balance sheet in a pristine form, untouched, not written down, presented as true and fair, in complete defiance of the reality of the market. My other question is, just been at the Orco Equity Partners AGM this morning. Orco Finance Group collapsed last night, went into receivership, and Orco Equity Partners, as an externally managed fund, terminated the management agreement this morning because receivership was a default event. Clearly, we are entangled in a ridiculous and outrageous and a hugely value-destroying relationship with Babcock that Mr. Hofbauer up here hasn't been good enough to relieve us from in the negotiations that have gone on in the past few weeks. What is the status of the management contract if Babcock and Brown goes into receivership? Is that a terminating event? And what is the situation with BBI going into receivership? If BBI goes into receivership, does that mean, is that a terminating event? And in answering that question, can you say whether the independent directors actually have the power to appoint administrators, or is that something that only the Babcock boys can do as their responsible entity?
No, the in both of those scenarios that you referred to, whether it be an insolvency on the part of the manager or a solvency on the part of the company, they are termination events in respect to the management agreement. And the powers of the board, the BBI board, are the same powers that you expect in relation to any other corporation. In relation to your question in respect of the audit, I just wanted to make one point before Matt Sheeran comments. I think one point which I tried to make in my address about value, and I think this is an important point we should all bear in mind. You know, we're hearing day in and day out questions being raised about asset values in a market where there are a whole range of assets up there for sale, and some results that some people are getting are suboptimal. We've just announced, of course, the 50% sale on PowerCo, and I think that result speaks for itself. It was, you know, the details that have been disclosed. It's important to recognise, as I made the point in my address, that around 75% of BBI's earnings before tax, depreciation, amortisation, are being derived from regulated assets. And I think the words I use should give some assurance to security holders about those assets. But also it gives a very, very strong message about value in the market, because these are assets that are highly predictable, even in difficult times. So it gives us considerable comfort about value. But you asked to hear from the auditor. Matt, could you use the microphone, please?
Thank you for your question. I'll answer the first part of the question. That was in relation to how we are comfortable that the net assets, as stated in the financial statements, represent the fair value of those assets. And I will just make one point, and it was referred to by the chairman, in that in relation to fair value, that does not necessarily mean as to what the current share market reflects in terms of the overall market value of the company. I'll turn your attention to the financial statements on page 102, which outlines the accounting policies that the company undertakes to ensure that its assets are tested for impairment, both goodwill and the actual property, plant and equipment. And to summarise, under the accounting standards, companies are required to test their assets for impairment, and they do that by looking at primarily the cash flows associated that are going to be generated from those assets, and they perform discounting of those to come back to what an estimated fair value of those assets are. As part of our audit process, we review those calculations, we engage our experts from our corporate finance teams, and we also look at the history of cash flows that are generated from those businesses, and as a result of those review of those models, we conclude as to whether we agree with management's assessment or not as to whether the assets are stated at fair value as represented by these accounting policies. The results of our audit work for the 2008 year indicated that we concurred with the assessments that were conducted which supported the fair value of those assets. It's also worth noting that subsequent to year end, the sale of an interest in one of those assets, being the PowerCo business, supported that view for that particular asset, that its carrying value was in fact at an amount less than what its fair value was once it was subject to sale. Second part of the question was in relation to fees paid to the manager. As part of our audit process, we look at the agreements that are entered into by the company, ensure that the financial statements reflect and adequately disclose what those arrangements are, and also that they've been accounted for in line with what those underlying agreements state. And to that extent, our testing supports the views that we've stated in the financial statements. Thank you.